We've been talking it over, and we agree that on the basis of the work, it's easily the best presentation we've seen.
We'd like to award you the account, but frankly, there's a problem.
What's that?
You agreed to keep this assignment confidential.
I don't understand.
Obviously, you brought in freelance artists, typesetters.
You might as well hold a press conference.
Hold on.
All the work we've shown you was done by the people in this room on a computer.
What computer puts out work like this?
Hello! And welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's had one child for every Apple book he's successfully written, Leander Caney. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I never realized. You're right.
He's got 14 kids, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll be honest, we're not the important ones this show because Buster Hine is joining us today, and he is recording this show the very day before his own marriage celebration. What a guy. What a guy. Buster Hine.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm getting married. No big deal. Hey, I got to go because I'm about to walk to the altar. Can I call you guys right back? And I quote, when I asked Buster if he was going to be on the show, even though he is getting married Friday, he said, dude, I'm not going to miss the cult cast for some freaking wedding. That's literally what you said.
Not even his own.
Especially not my own.
What are you more excited about, Buster, the cult cast or the wedding?
Oh, dude, I hate weddings. They're the worst.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about Buster's matrimony celebrations upcoming, and hopefully for those of you who've been listening for a while, you're going to enjoy that. I also, Buster, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I do. I got you a little something, and even though I just learned right before we started recording that you didn't invite me to your wedding, I'm going to be the bigger person, and I'm still going to give you this wedding present. We can talk about that. We're going to make it into a special segment. We'll do it at the end of the show, so people who actually want to stay tuned for that can. We have all sorts of Apple news to talk about this week. Leander just told us that his new MacBook just arrived in the office. Mm-hmm, so right. We'll be talking to him about how much he loves it and on and on and on and on about why it's the best computer ever. And also, Leander, I'm interested to hear, I know you went and tried on the Apple Watch. And yeah, I did right, too. Yeah. And you kind of seemed like you had a hallelujah moment when you tried it on, and like it a lot more now than you did previously. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I bought it sight unseen, like a lot of other people, right?
Yeah, right. Me too.
I did it in the pre-order process at midnight, and then I had gone to check out what I'd actually bought the next day.
Did your thought of what you wanted and what you actually bought change when you went in there and checked them out?
Well, a little bit, you know, like, I was really impressed with it. Well, it's not really, because I mean, it's the bands, right? I mean, the only big difference really is the band.
Yeah.
And I'd actually had checked out the watch at the watch event. I went to the Apple's watch event, so I got a chance to check it out there. But, you know, I wasn't looking at it at that time, you know, as someone who'd actually went and bought one. So I don't know. Yeah, you know, like the bands. I was really impressed with the leather band. That's an amazing piece of engineering. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was and how well it worked because it has a magnetic clasp.
Leather band? Oh, you mean the one that kind of has like, they're not perforations, but it kind of has like little
segments.
Pads, segments. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's segmented. Right.
As I said, you're describing it terribly. Hold on. Before we continue on Apple Watch, I do want to back up a moment and just say thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this conversation. Got to make sure we give FreshBooks their props. And we couldn't have this conversation without sponsors like FreshBooks. Man, does Leander love FreshBooks?
I do. I love FreshBooks.
I do too. Freshest books, biggest books. That's what we say around here, right?
Freshest books, biggest books. Well, should we explain that in the inside joke? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like the inside jokes are best left unexplained.
Okay, well, it's an inside joke, and maybe we'll explain it in a later episode.
Now that you've said that, we probably should explain. Let's just say when we were in Vegas, somebody, you know, like if you've ever been to Vegas, those people are on the street and they slap those flyers together to get your attention and then they try to hand them to you.
The saucy ones, right?
The real saucy ones, right? And as somebody, we were walking by somebody and they slapped it together. And when they handed it to us, they said, and I'm going to paraphrase here so I don't offend anyone. biggest breasts, bestest breasts. At which time Leander and myself laughed hysterically.
We're and all laughing, yeah.
That was such a great description that we've been using it ever since to describe things that we just love. So this is not
biggest
just
MacBook, bestest MacBook.
Exactly. Freshest books, biggest books. And it applies to fresh books as well because they're just so darn great. Right. So Leander, tell me about your favorite FreshBooks feature.
Well, the easy, you know, the being able to send the same invoice, you know, week after week with a couple of clicks, you know, you just change the number. It always increasing, right? So every week, you know, I put the number up so I get more money. But then you just have to hit click and it's done. It sends it off.
Boom, shakalaka. It makes your life easier. And I probably should have mentioned this before we even started talking about FreshBooks. The easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. We all use FreshBooks because, as Leander just pointed out astutely, it makes running your business so much easier. If you're sending invoices to people, let's say you're a photographer, maybe you are a graphic designer. If you're in the service industry at all and you need to bill people, you know what a pain in the arse it is to actually do that. FreshBooks has really intuitive software, and you use it online, you can use it on your phone, beautifully designed. They put a lot of attention into the detail of how the software works, so that makes it easy to use, fast to use. You can track your expenses. You can track your deadbeat clients that you need to go rough up.
Yeah, that's true. I got a couple of those. In fact.
Me too. I just ran
a report. I was shocked.
You did, and you're like, 95% of my clients haven't paid me. Yeah, time to go break some thumbs.
I'm not really owed that much money.
And one of my favorite things to do is just send out invoices to people because FreshBooks makes it so easy. Like you can literally just send an invoice to anyone.
And well, just, I sent one to myself. Actually. That's funny to mention that.
Did you pay it?
Just for the fun of it. Yeah. No, I didn't pay it. It was only for $13, but you can test sending one by the mail.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a check.
You got all excited?
So I ripped it open really feverishly. Like, I was like, what, wait a second. I forgot for a second what it was. And I'm like, what the heck? An invoice from Cult of Mac? But it didn't, you know, it sends it out and it doesn't, yeah, I didn't actually have to fill in any of the fields, right? Because it's just a sample.
Right. So it just does it for you.
So, yeah, it did throw me off a little bit. I am ashamed to admit.
Well, one of the best games I played in 2014 was just sending invoices to Leander Caney to see if he paid them. And he paid like 90% of them. I mean, just for things that I didn't even do. It was like, I mowed your lawn. I don't think you actually read the invoice, Leander.
I know, yeah. So I just look at the big pay now. But
you're like, oh, where's so that easy. Pay now? It's just so easy for your clients to pay. They're just going to pay you faster. And it makes it easy to track, you know, who's paying on time, who owes you money still, so you can follow up with those people. Plus, tracking your expenses is dead simple. We all use FreshBooks. We all love it. Check it out, freshbooks.com/cultcast. Start a free trial. See if you like it. And if you do, please enter cultcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section so that FreshBooks knows that you heard about them through us. Thank you, FreshBooks, for supporting this episode. Okay, Leander, since we were already talking about Apple Watch, why don't we just continue with that? Because you went into the store to try it on. I went into the store to try it on. Buster, did you go in?
Yep.
You did too. Okay, so we've all actually played with the Apple Watch. We've all used the Apple Watch. And Leander, they were drop-dead gorgeous, weren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're absolutely beautiful. I mean, the engineering is crazy. The engineering is really, really nice. And all the bands are really beautiful and I was really impressed with them. Yeah, I got to, you know, I had a tryout session. The guy had like about a dozen watches. I tried them all on.
Oh, you got to try on like quite a few.
I got to try on two. About eight of them, eight or ten. Huh. He just kept them coming.
And, at any point during the try on, did you think about just running out the door with it?
I was doing. I started to take off, and I felt this arm on my shoulder, and he's like, "Yeah, come on, you know, like you got to take it off."
Sir, we need to keep that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the whole thing was kind of chaotic. I'm surprised I didn't lose a couple because there were people reaching over, and they were like getting some. They were getting watches out of the drawers, and there was people over to the left and to the right, and in front of us and behind us. You know, it was like a real zoo.
I was taken aback, I have to say. Everyone knows my position on Apple Watch. I've been lukewarm. And functionally, I am still lukewarm on what it's actually going to do to help us in our lives. And I think reading all the reviews, that's kind of been a universal sentiment. Is everyone's like, this thing's gorgeous. I don't really know if you need one. But it's kind of one of those cool Apple gadgets to have. I couldn't believe how gorgeous they were. I ordered the white Sport Edition 42mm, which I tried on and I liked. But that stainless steel with the stainless steel link bracelet was I actually felt stupid. And for those people who follow me on Periscope, I was doing a live scope when I was in there, and I think I said this before, I actually felt a little silly, because before on this show I've said, why would you spend $5,000 on a watch when you can get the same one for $400? And then I saw the steel version with the link bracelet, which goes for $1,000, and just the fashion aspect of it alone made me want to spend $1,000. Really? And I felt stupid. Yeah, it was one of the most beautiful pieces of...
It's got that Apple drool worthy.
Yes,
know,
it does. What
in
is it?
Spades.
Exactly. You walk in there and you think that... I thought I was going to be unimpressed. And I walked out of there thoroughly impressed and thoroughly excited. Now I really want one of these.
Right. Yeah.
Even though I know I'm not going to find it useful.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think you will. I think I think for a lot of people, it's going to become, you know, absolutely indispensable. It's going to free them from the sort of tyranny of checking their phones constantly and feeling like they're slaves to phones and notifications and emails. I think oddly, you know, it's the one tech gadget that actually helps, you know, with your sort of gadget addiction.
I don't know if it does. I watched a review by Bloomberg, and they were talking about how actually now, instead of checking your phone all the time, you check your wrist all the time.
Yeah.
And it becomes one of those really awkward technology things that you do. Like, you're having a conversation with someone, but your wrist buzzes, and so you're compelled to look at it. And you have to really prevent yourself from doing those kind of things so that you don't look like a total...
Chode,
yeah.
But I mean, it's different. Like, glancing at your watch quickly, it like takes a second or two. Whereas, like, pulling your phone out of your pocket when it's buzzing, you know, takes like 5, 10, 30 seconds if you need to respond to a text, you know?
That's true.
I think it does help for a bit.
But Josh,
plus, if you set it up right, you can set up different, you know, buzzes for different things. And so, once you've trained yourself like a Pavlovian dog, you know, you can ignore some and you know, respond to others.
Yeah.
So when it's really freaking out, you know, you have a look at it. But if it's just like a little, you know, insignificant nudge, then you ignore that.
Josh Topolsky was reviewing it for Bloomberg. I think it was Josh. And
I didn't agree with him, because I mean, my experience with the Microsoft Band, you know, which I fell in, you know, which I. Well, I was going to say fell in love with it, which I kind of fell in love with.
You kind of did. Yeah, you really did.
And then when you see Apple Watch, it's like, ew.
Yeah, you know, I was not expecting how much I would like the notification.
On the Apple Watch.
What a big difference. No, on the Microsoft Band.
What notifications did you set up on it?
Well, I didn't, you know, everything. So phone calls, texts. I didn't initially put Twitter on it, but then I did. I put Twitter mentions.
Okay.
And I left Facebook off. And calendar, right? So I found it super useful. You know, in the morning it would, you know, I get a reminder of what was going on during the day. And if someone calls, I mean, that's great. You immediately, you know who it is. It's, you know, because your phone's, you know, it's usually in a pocket or something, right? So texting too, you can look at a text, you know, you can just quickly glance at it, see, because you know who's sending your text. So I found it easier to ignore the phone than, you know, by having it than I did if I was using my phone normally.
Well, one of the things that Josh said in his review, and I think you said this earlier, is you have to be careful on what notifications you allow to go to the watch itself, because you can let all your apps go to the watch if you want. And your wrist is going to be buzzing all the time. And of course, and we said this on a previous show, is everyone's going to be jostling to get your attention now on the Apple Watch, right? Because it's like the new gadget. So everyone's going to want to send you notifications. So you're still going to have to curate which notifications you get on your wrist. Otherwise, it's going to be exactly like your phone. Your wrist is always going to be buzzing.
That could be true. I guess, you know, the impression I got from all the reviews is that people, for the first time, went through and made a bunch of conscious decisions about what notifications they were getting. Mm-hmm. So I think on the phone, that's exactly what they did. They were like, yeah, you know, this app wants to send you notifications. Sure, you know, coffee. Yeah, you know.
Right.
From Starbucks. Yeah, okay, what the heck, I'll do it. And so notifications on the phone have become this constant stream of stuff to ignore. And when you're setting up the Apple Watch, you're going to make all these conscious decisions. Am I going to let that, you know, go to the watch or not? And so, you know, the things I'd read, like Farhad in The Times and... who else was there? There were a couple of others. I can't remember who it was now, but they were saying, you know, if you're judicious about it, then it actually helps manage notifications.
You need to be judicious, though, as you said.
Right.
I mean, do you want this notification to interrupt your life is kind of the way I'm going to think about it. Like, is this worth interrupting a conversation that I'm having? Is this worth interrupting me while I'm driving? Like, those are the notifications I want to let through. So it's going to pretty much rule out most things. So texts from Leander Caney, no. Texts from Buster, probably. No, I'm just joking. But I'm not going to put Twitter, I don't think, on my watch. I'm not going to put Facebook on my watch. I don't want to read the Wall Street Journal top articles on my watch. Like, I just want to have, like, maybe text messages and then, I don't know, and the actual time. That might be it.
Yeah, right.
But can we go back to the sexiness of it? Because I couldn't believe it. I mean,
did you check out the Milanese Band? That's a beautiful piece of
the Milanese Band is. I mean, the Bears are gonna love it. It's a very tough, very feminine watch band, right? That you have right there. It looks like Mithril from Lord of the Rings. Looks like something Samwise Gamgee would wear.
Sam.
I actually thought the Milanese loop was really cool. I probably wouldn't wear it because, yeah, probably not my style. But, yeah, I really did. Like, I don't know.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But I'm with you. Like, whose style is that?
I could
it
see.
It looks like chainmail.
Dad's wearing it. I think it's dad. I think it's dad wear for sure.
I think it's pretty. It's unisex. I think you can see men and women.
I could see what ladies doing it. I think they need to do a gold one for the ladies, though.
Oh yeah, that would be that.
And
would
that
be
would just
choice,
be flash all day, yeah.
But even the plain leather bands and the leather bands that you brought up earlier, Leander, I was just taken aback. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about Apple making their gadgets lust worthy before. I don't know what Apple does to create that lust factor, but when I walked out of there, I could not wait to own one of these watches.
Right, yeah, me too.
So
I'm counting down the day. Yeah. Even the neoprene band, I was really impressed.
Yeah, I was gonna
with.
Say like, that like the. Cheap Apple Watch here I have. It's so like the plastic is so hard, but that neoprene plastic one or whatever, Floormaster, is that what it's called? It was so soft and it didn't feel like plastic at all.
No, and it looks like it's going to be pretty durable.
Yeah.
And I like the design too. It's super clever the way you tuck the excess band inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a kind of super clever, really nice design, you know, like instead of having a flimsy band that you tuck it into like everyone else has been doing forever, here's a different way to do it that's actually much smarter.
I think that was one of the ones that Newsom did, right, on his Ike Pods or something?
Yeah, it was, yeah. But it's well thought through, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, now it's going to come to the masses. I think it's great. Yeah, I thought all the bands were great. The Clasps were great. The magnetic stuff was really magical.
Magical. You're going there.
And even like...
Revolutionary?
He took the band off. He showed me the genius showed
yeah,
me how to
the,
take the band off, and a little tiny button that's spring loaded.
The ports inside. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see the ports inside. I didn't actually look for that. But I was just impressed with the tiny little button you press, and then on the link braces, the steel link braces, it has about 8 links that you can remove, and each one has its own button with this incredibly intricate little mechanism for decoupling it from the other links.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And my goodness, you know, the engineering in that, it must have dozens, if not, you know, dozens of pieces for sure.
And you said in your piece when you wrote about this on Call to Mac, I thought this stuck with me. You said to have that much precision go into something that you may just do once, because you're going to adjust those links once, right? And then you're probably never going to do it again unless you lose like 100 pounds or gain
100 pounds. Or gain it, yeah. You're going to put a few back in, yeah. That's probably what's going to happen with me over Christmas.
You're like, I may be using it a couple times, yeah. I may get some extra use out of it. So we're all, seems like we're all more than lukewarm on the Apple Watch now, yeah?
What do you mean, more than lukewarm? No, well, I'm totally up for it. I think it's going to be great.
Okay, well, I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
I still don't know if I'll be like wearing it after a month, you know? I know I definitely will for the first couple weeks
because
it's be new and cool and awesome. But I think that'll be the real test is like after a month, whether you still want to wear your Apple Watch all the time.
Right, yeah. And if you forget, if you remember to charge it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because I'm the guy, I never wear watches at all. So I feel like me it either. Has to be really useful for me to like... commit to like wearing something all the day, because usually I just like leave it off for a few days and then I forget. So I think it really does have to provide some like huge functionality that I can't live without.
All right, well, that'll be interesting. Yeah, you definitely have to write that up.
My number one feature, this is going to sound so dumb, is just being able to look at the time on my wrist because I'm constantly pulling my phone out of my pants and I keep my, you know, my phone in my pants, like not in my pocket, but like in my pants. And I'm constantly pulling it out to look at the time, and everyone looks at me, and it's like a this big affair because, you know, I'm pulling it out of my pants, and when people want to ask me questions, and it's just all that just to look at the time is just too much. I just want to look at my wrist.
They have watches that do it for a lot cheaper if you're interested.
Oh, man. I should look into that. Well, for everyone who hasn't seen an Apple Watch, no pictures will do it justice. No videos will do it justice. No descriptions do it justice. Go check it out. It is a piece of hardware to behold. And that screen is so sharp and so saturated, it pops off the watch. I think it looks even sharper and better than the iPhone 6 Plus. Were you guys impressed by the screen?
To be honest, I didn't really pay attention too much to the screen, but I was unimpressed by the user interface. I kind of found it confusing. To anybody who saw me on Periscope, they thought I was joking around when I couldn't navigate it, but it was really hard, actually, I thought.
I've heard a lot of people say that same thing.
I was just a little bit confused by it. I mean, maybe you'll get used to it after, you know, a few hours, but I was, I don't know, a little bit lost as to where I was all the time in it.
I don't feel like the geniuses were as well-trained as they should have been, at least not at my store, because just kind of seemed to not really know very much.
Well, my store also told me that I could go online and pre-order one and get one on the 24th, too. And I was like, are you sure about that? Because it's already shipping in June. But yeah, they didn't teach them enough, I don't think.
Leander, when is your shipping?
It said when I ordered it on the 24th.
Oh,
I would get it by the 24th.
So you stayed up till midnight.
Well, the first one, I ordered one of the black ones, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it said like May or something. And I was like, well, what the heck? So I went and ordered like the cheap aluminum one with a white band.
Uh-huh.
And that one is the one that's going to come on the 24th. And the other one I think is coming at the end of May, if I'm lucky, or June or something.
Yeah, mine just said June. It didn't even say when in June.
Oh, really? Yeah, said June.
Just said available in June. That's it. And I still haven't emailed me yet. What I decided to do was wait until the morning to order it, like Buster did with his phone last year, because I stayed up last year to get my, for the 6 Plus, I should say, and the store kept crashing, then Buster just waltzed in there in the morning, you know, online and got one. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do the same thing. And then Buster bought one at night. And I waited to the morning, and now my shipping time is June. So I'm like,
well, here's the secret. You got to use the Apple Store app for iOS, because the website was crashing and did suck for the Apple Watch pre-orders. Mm. But if you did it through the app, you would have got it within the first week of shipping.
And then that's what I did, and I used Apple Pay. It's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, wasn't that? Like, it was like just that. It was two taps, and then you're done.
Yeah, scary fast, actually. I was like, oops, what have I done?
Oh, my God. I bought the edition. Oh, whoops. My bad. Time to tell Tracy.
Don't you care anyway. I'm going to go get an appointment.
Did we just lose Leander?
I think so.
I think she just found out that he bought an edition watch. Let's just continue, Buster.
I love it.
You know, we kept Leander on the phone for, 23 minutes. That's actually pretty good. Yeah. So let's move on. Let's talk about the... Well, I should mention this first. So Apple, according to Slice Intelligence, who I guess produces statistical reports, said that they estimated that Apple sold 1 million Apple Watches in the first 24 hours, 1 million watches with 957,000 people pre-ordering on the first Friday that it was available. My gosh. The most popular model, space gray aluminum. I'm actually surprised by that.
I'm not. I was going to go for space gray aluminum, and then I thought, man, everybody's going to get the space gray aluminum one, and the space gray aluminum one only looks good with the black band, I felt like. So I went with the stainless or the regular sport one instead.
So the sport one with the white band?
Yep, yep.
That's the one I got, too.
Yeah, right. some guy said they were able to order the one that with the green band like the next morning.
Oh, really?
Oh, we're, yeah.
he figured no one was getting that one, so he went ahead and bought that.
They probably sold like 100 of those.
Yeah, that's true. The green band. I wouldn't mind a black band with the sport, but I don't think they have that.
They don't have a black band with a sport. Not with the silver body.
Yeah, I hate that.
Which right, the most popular band was the black one. See, that seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
Leander, sorry, what were you saying?
Well, some of the reviewers put that up, and I thought that was a really nice looking combination. Yeah.
Yeah,
the black band with a silver buddy.
I do too. Spelt. Well, of course, for all of us plebeians, we have to buy our Apple Watches. But at today's Star Wars event, where J.J. Abrams was talking about the new Force Awakens movie, and they were showing off a new trailer buster.
Yeah.
He had his Apple Watch on.
Mm-hmm. He looks like he had a navy band or something.
Did he? What color was it? It wasn't an edition, was it?
I bet there had to have been something special. I feel like Apple's probably not tossing out the cheapos to the celebrities.
It probably had Yoda engraved on it or something.
He's not a blingy kind of guy, is he? So he definitely had his. It was a silver. It was either a sport or edition. Or I'm sorry, a regular one.
Yeah, he's no Drake for sure. I saw Drake wearing
Drake
his,
with his golden red one.
He's okay. Hold on. Let's not even the watch is even what I thought was hysterical about that photo. He's wearing a red band with a gold watch, but he's wearing a red jumpsuit.
Dude, when you're Drake,
it's like a red velour jumpsuit. That was my favorite part of that photo.
I was like, Drake looks so damn good.
Damn, look at Drake.
So jealous. I was like, I need an Apple Watch.
Yeah, and then Katy Perry had one, of course.
Pharrell had one.
Yeah, Pharrell had one.
Did you see the special gold link bracelet that they gave to that one designer?
Karl Lagerfeld, yeah.
Yeah, that one looked actually pretty sweet.
Karl Lagerfeld. I love my Apple Watch. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Kim Cook. Thank you.
I couldn't make sense of that photograph they posted. I was like, what's that? Is it some kind of traction or some bandage he has on? It's his gloves.
Yeah, it was like with two zippers on it. And then if you noticed, he didn't even have his Apple Watch set up yet. It's on the setup screen to like
he doesn't pair even, it with he the doesn't Apple even know Watch how app. It works.
He was in such a moment of showing up.
Karl Lagerfeld is one of the more eccentric designers, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been a fanatic as well about Apple for years. Like years ago, I wrote a story at Wired about he had this bizarre gold case made for his 25 iPods.
Uh-huh.
And they were selling this through Fendi. You could buy it for it was crazy, $20,000 or something. It was it was a suitcase for iPods. The craziest thing. So it's for the ultra rich who had dozens of iPods and want to travel with them. You could buy the special case from Fendi.
That sounds like something that's worth investing your money in for sure.
Sounds like 20,000. I would buy it.
Yeah, Johnny Ive probably has one that carries the work. We should probably also mention some other Apple news besides just Apple Watch stuff, because Apple kicked off, they announced WWDC 2015 on June 8th, where if you're a developer, you can watch it online because there's not a chance you're getting into this thing with how fast they've been selling out. But my question to you guys is, we're obviously going to hear about iOS 9. Obviously going to hear about the next iteration of OS X. Historically speaking, we usually get some kind of hardware announced at WWDC. Any hardware expectations?
Oh, WWDC hardware? Apple TV. Did you?
I think we're going to hear Apple TV too.
We haven't posted this, but if you look on the the logo for WWDC in the center, it looks kind of like a Apple TV box outline.
Really?
Or an app. Outline.
I think we're going to get so
apps
I did
for Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because we just got that news that Apple seems to be charging a smaller rate for people who sign up for their TV service. So if you sign up through Apple, I think Apple only takes a 15% cut of say HBO Now or other similar type apps. I think this is, they're paving the path. I think we're going to see this at WWDC. I think they're going to announce an all new Apple TV, and it's going to be everything that I had hoped and more. It's going to have all those features that I scooped about several episodes ago from my special sources.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Scoop City. And everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, Airfun has the most amazing sources. Scoop City. What about a new MacBook? So we got a new MacBook Pro, and that was the 13-inch. They just updated, but we haven't had an update for the 15-inch. And by the time June rolls around, it will have been, I think, almost a year. Possibly, yeah. We might be getting a new MacBook Pro 15-inch.
Yeah, it's the spec update on some of the MacBooks that haven't been updated at least. But I wouldn't expect a big hardware revision.
Well, why would they not update it? And give it this. Yeah, exactly. They've already updated the 13. Why wait on the 15?
I have no idea.
I mean, the 15 historically is their flagship model. So if they're gonna make major changes, they can charge more for the 15, right? So it makes sense for them to make those major changes and then release the 15 and then roll those out to the 13 later.
The 15 didn't get the trackpad, the new Force Touch trackpad either. So that's a possibility that, yeah, maybe they do have something up their sleeve for that. Maybe a slimmer design on the 15-inch. I don't know.
Possibly. But we're certainly, I think we're going to see Apple TV for sure. Leander, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm just hanging on every word. I'm just listening to the conversation.
Are you resting your hand on your head on your hand, just listening and just being like, just nodding in agreement?
Just dreamily, yeah, yes, exactly. Just nodding along. I agree with everything.
So, Leander, tell me about your new MacBook that you just got in. You said you just got the brand new MacBook in. How are you liking it so far?
Oh my, yeah, it's amazing. It's tiny. It's like an iPad. It's like holding a new iPad Air, except it splits in the middle, and you open it up, and there's the screen, and then there's the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And the keyboard's really shockingly flat. You know, like, there's almost no movement at all. The keys are oversized. They're bigger than the Chiclet keys you get, like, in the wireless keypad. Mm-hmm. You know, they barely move. It just makes this click when it goes, a perceptible click when it goes down.
Oh, right, because they have the new scissor mechanism, don't they?
Yeah,
oh, wait,
right.
The butterfly.
Butterfly, right.
Yeah, and so how are you liking the keyboard? Because there was some controversy around that when they announced it.
Well, I'm kind of, you know, like I can only touch type on an old typewriter with like an inch of travel on the keys. Mm-hmm. So I hunt and peck like a chicken.
Really? You don't know how to type?
No.
You don't know how to type. You've had a history of like journalistic career.
I know.
How do you not know how to type?
I know, it's shameful, isn't it?
That is hilarious.
For decades I've been like, I can kind of do it with sort of like two or three fingers, right? But not five finger type.
Yeah.
So I sort of have, and you know, I know it's terrible. I'm really slow. I'm a terrible typist. So for me it was fine. You know, like it's no problem at all. But Lewis, weird enough, he was playing around with it, and he can touch type, and he didn't like the click, and it, because he's had RSI problems, and it reminds him of his clicking his fingers and his joints.
Huh.
You know when other people crack their knuckles?
Yeah.
And it makes you go, ugh.
It makes you shudder, yeah.
Yeah, so the keyboard gave him that sensation.
Hmm.
And he gets that as well with the trackpads. Like, he has to go into the system preferences and do... enable that, you know, what is it?
The touch trackpad?
Yeah, touch the click.
Yeah.
So he doesn't actually click it down. He just, you know, uses it on the surface without actually clicking it. So this was giving him the heebie-jeebies, the Force touchpad and the keyboard.
So how are you liking the Force touchpad so far?
Well, so far, you know, I didn't have a chance really to play around with it. I'm going to write the review on it, so we'll see, you know, how much I like it. But, you know, so far it's great. I mean, it's like, it's super, super light, and it's kind of small and dinky, you know, it's almost toy-like.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that, you know, I like the portability. And, you know, because it's only got one port, that's crazy, the USB-C port.
Mm-hmm.
The USB-C cord is like a double-ended, you know, it's got a USB-C connection at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one, of course, goes into the little charging brick, which is a small one, and then the other one goes into the computer. So we'll see. I mean, like, you know, I've been using it. I'm a MacBook Air user for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really use any of the ports. I mean, I don't even use the, I don't use any of the USB ports really for anything. And I don't use the memory card slot very much. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I've taken photographs of it, but everything's so wireless now, you know, like you take some pictures of your iPhone and they show up in, you know, from the cloud.
Right,
in Photos. In the Photos sure. app. Right. And, you know, if you want to connect it to a TV, I just do that using AirPlay. You know, I stream music using AirPlay or Sonos. So, you know, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of complaints. I mean, Buster was saying, right? Remember, Buster, you know, you were a little skeptical that people would take to it because, you know, there were so many limitations.
I kind of, after seeing it, I kind of would renege on my original post there because, yeah, it's super sexy, super small.
There we go.
I like, after playing with Hone, I was like, God, this is an awesome machine. I wish... Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's worth $1,300 is the main
thing. It is very expensive, I feel like.
That's a lot of money. If it was like $999, like the MacBook Air price, yeah, I would be all for it.
I think I'd be more excited about it, too, if it were cheaper. But for me, it probably also just depends on what you're going to do with it. Because for me, I don't feel like I could go with just a USB-C port.
Well,
I don't want to spend an extra $100 on adapters.
I've been thinking lately, yeah, I probably could get by on just that. Because, yeah, I probably don't need a slot. I don't do anything crazy intensive, you know. So
yeah, I feel like Buster, you probably could get away with it.
Yeah,
Leander, any major distinctions between the MacBook Air and the new MacBook?
Well, it's a lot smaller.
It's a lot smaller even than the MacBook Air when you see it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, because
it's like the size of an 11-inch one, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It is, and but except that it's a little bit taller. But it's you know, the keyboard's edge to edge, so it's really small. It's it's kind of shockingly small. It's like, you know, it's a quarter. It's like three quarters the size of the 13-inch MacBook Air. And you know, the screen is gorgeous. The screen's really sharp. It's a Retina screen, so that's immediately noticeable. And you know, the glass goes all the way to the edge, and the keyboard goes all the way to the edge. Although the screen doesn't quite go to the edge, it's got a black border of about a half inch, and it's crazy thin. I mean, it's really, really thin, but it's not flimsy. It's actually quite sturdy. It doesn't, you know, you think, oh my goodness, it's going to flex. You know, it looks as though it should be fragile, but it's not at all. It's pretty sturdy.
I bet Buster could flex it. He could use that thing. His friend would sit on it. It'd be folded in half in no time, 2 weeks max. It has these two big butt impressions in the top of it. Screen would be shattered.
And I got the black one, the space gray one.
Uh-huh.
So that looks really good. It looks really nice. We haven't seen a black, you know, laptop from Apple for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess we haven't seen a black MacBook in a long time.
I thought the black one looked best.
Yeah, the black one was super sexy.
Yeah. I thought about gold, but I don't know.
You don't want to be like Alex.
Dude, my friend, I don't know. Some people, the ladies mostly, I've heard. I've been really
The ladies and Alex love gold. Yeah. We could just say, well, let's just say the ladies to make it easier to say. The ladies love the gold. And I'm sure it's going to be huge in China because all my Chinese friends tell me that gold stuff is just really popular there. People like gold stuff there.
So here's what I found out is because I found it's lucky. Like, I didn't know that gold's lucky in Chinese culture.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
I think gold's lucky in any culture, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't consider. I don't know.
Well, think about it this way, Buster. If you found some gold, you'd be like, "Whoa, that was pretty lucky." You're like, "Whoa, I just found some gold. That's pretty lucky."
I think gold is the new white now. You know, you remember when the, you know?
That's true. Yeah,
and it's like a lot of stuff is showing up gold. There was a good example the other day. Like, someone's gadgets are now in gold. I was like, "Oh my goodness, really?" Oh heck, who was it? I can't remember who it was now.
Was it like HP?
No, I just wish I mentioned it. Sorry, I totally forgot.
Next, yeah.
Oh, it's a bike. It's an electric bike. Yeah, I'm sorry. It has gold accents.
Okay.
But yeah, an electric bike. So there's people starting to stick gold, you know, on electronics. I think we're going to start seeing gold cars.
Oh Lord, we're going to start seeing it everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. Okay, well, before we move on to the last segment of the show, Buster, we got some news that Apple made an acquisition this week that could revolutionize, make it magical, the next iPhone's camera. Care to elaborate for us, sir?
What was the name of it? Lynx Imaging? It was an Israeli startup that
is
they
it,
bought
is
for...
Is it Lynx or Linux?
Linux, yeah.
Linux. That's it really Linux?
I don't know, because it kind of sounds like Linux the operating
system. Yeah, exactly.
But they only bought them for $20 million. Whoa, is that our flight operator?
The heck just happened?
What? Who is that?
Sorry, that was me.
Leander was backing up. His backup detectors came on.
I'm in the car park at Target, and the guy just came by with a huge train of trolleys. So it was making a huge racket, so I thought I'd close the windows.
you're in your car?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the car.
Oh, I thought you were like literally in Target shopping, which I would not put past you.
Not yet. No, I will. Maybe I'll do that next episode.
Yeah, you should. Just do the show live from wherever you shop. We'll be doing this show and some lady will come on the speakers and they'll be like, there's a sale on men's underpants. No, I got to go, guys. Sorry. Buster, continue, please.
So Linux, whatever they're called, I think it's a pretty interesting acquisition. It only cost Apple $20 million, but they have some cool tech. Instead of like making really big camera sensors, they create better images by dividing it like a camera module into two or three or four lens systems. So they take like four pictures and then create the best out of both of those. Mm-hmm. And they can also do like 3D imaging with the two lenses that they have. So it's interesting tech.
I was reading too that after you take the picture, just like the Lytro cameras, you can actually change your focal point.
Right, because there's different lenses at different depths.
So we'll see how well this works if it actually ever produces any,
Well, I think why Apple might like it is because they also are able to make like their camera sensors like half as thin as the current ones. So you know Johnny's gonna get down with that.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, because he hates that little camera extension on the phone right now.
Yeah.
He hates it. Keeps him up at night. Well, here's my question. I mean, if Apple bought a company like this, $20 million is obviously a drop in the hat for them. But why would they buy a company like this and then not use the technology? Wouldn't that be weird, Leander, if they bought a company for technology like this and then it never produced anything?
No, not at all. Companies do that all the time. You know, they do acqui-hires. To get the engineers, rather than the technology, but also they do it to keep it out of the hands of competitors. And there's a long history of that. I mean, tons of companies do that.
So you could see Apple buying this just so Samsung didn't put it in their phones?
Maybe.
Because that's been the flagship feature on all iPhones, right? The photographic capabilities.
Yeah, I would say it's probably more to do with that. I mean, I bet there's a whole bunch of not just great tape, but great, engineers there too that they'd like to get hold of.
Well, Linux or Lynx, I'm just going to go with Linux because that sounds more fun, says that the extra cameras that they pack in there increase the low light performance dramatically. So that's one of the biggest benefits and allow for faster exposures indoors without motion blur. So that's huge, right? Because that's always one of the biggest limitations of mobile cameras is just how poorly they do in low light environments. So if they actually do end up implementing this technology into the next iPhone or a future iPhone, hopefully we'll see drastically increased fidelity in low lights, but also the ability to refocus after you take a picture would kind of be groundbreaking for an iPhone, I think.
Yeah, with the Lytro, right? The phone cameras do that, but
yeah, but no one actually buys a Lytro camera. Like we saw those things at CES. Like who goes out and buys one of those? It looks like one of those like telescopes that old captains used to use.
Like I have one. Yeah, the image like the image sensor is like what is it? 3 megapixel. Pixel.
It's 3 megapixels.
It's just tiny.
Oh my!
That's all.
It's just not convenient. Yeah, but I mean, it's great tech.
Yeah, but it's not convenient. If you're going to use it, you have to have it as part of your phone. I think because otherwise, you're just not going to. Who carries an extra camera these days?
No one.
Not the masses. Okay, well, tell you what, guys, we gotta wrap it up because Buster has to go and get ready for his wedding. He's being super selfish. He wants to go and get ready for his wedding. But before we go, I want to do a little special segment just for our little Bustier. He's gonna be having his big day tomorrow. Buster, you are getting married tomorrow, right? Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
I hope so.
Better set your alarm there. Maybe you should ask Siri.
Yeah, ask Siri to remind you. I'm sure that will work out perfectly. So, in Buster's honor, I thought, hey, what could I do to give our little Bustier a wedding present? Because once he gets married, I'm sure you're gonna have all sorts of expenses. There's marital type items I'm sure you're gonna want to buy, perhaps for the bedroom. Fill up your armament full of stuff.
Bob's Mansfield's going to give us a couples massage.
I've arranged for Bob Mansfield to come give you a hot oil massage. Yes. It cost me a lot. It cost me a lot, but I think it's going to be worth it. He's going to crack his knuckles and just get busy on both of you at the same time with his monster hands. No. So I wanted to give you a gift, but I was like, why not let our cult cast audience participate in the gifts? So I have set up a GoFundMe campaign in Buster's name, and I hope everyone will donate to the Buster Wedding Fund.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So everyone that, you know, that loves their Buster as I do can contribute. Any amount that you want to contribute would be great. Just go to GoFundMe.com/weddingbeard. GoFundMe.com/weddingbeard. We're trying to raise $1,500 for Buster. He's had one donation so far. He's currently sitting at $69.
Wow, $69.
$69.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, to all of our CultCast listeners, if you would be so generous as to contribute, we would certainly appreciate that. Buster's going to get all the money. I'm going to take a small cut off the top.
At least 30%.
Buster's
right?
going to get 42% of the money. But you know, I got to use the rest for administrative costs and such things. So that is GoFundMe.com/weddingbeard. Let's get Buster started in style. Congratulations, Buster, from me to you. We're witnessing you become a man, and that's exciting to me. Buster.
He's already writing the account.
He's already withdrawing. He's withdrawing the $69 already. $69. That's more than I made in the last month with Cultivac. I'm gonna get married every month.
Right?
Did we lose Buster?
It looks like it.
Buster.
I totally forgot I had my mic muted. I was laughing this whole time.
You were just enjoying. I was like, he's crying. We made him emotional.
No, it's hilarious. I can't believe it. It's hilarious.
Okay, like, well, what's that, Buster?
Oh, I'm speechless.
That'd be nice for a honeymoon, wouldn't it? Some honeymoon money.
Yeah, the $69 is going to go a long way.
Well, don't withdraw the $69 yet. Okay. Let's see if anyone else contributes to it. We'll keep it going for, you know, a week, possibly 2 weeks. And then at that point, we're going to send Buster on a major honeymoon. He's going to go to Vegas and have the biggest honeymoon, best honeymoon.
I'll periscope the whole thing.
He's going to periscope the entire thing. It's going to be great. All right, guys. With that, let's go ahead and wrap it up. There, I want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Go check out FreshBooks.com/CultCast for your free trial. Figure out why we all love FreshBooks and use it day to day in our businesses and why it makes our lives easier. I think you're really going to like it. FreshBooks.com/CultCast. And hey, if you want to follow our adventures, you especially want to follow Buster tomorrow because he's going to be having all sorts of adventures. And he's going to be documenting all of them on Twitter and Periscope.
So,
yeah, make sure you're following Buster on Twitter, BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Airfon. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. You know who would be fun at a wedding? Leander.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Leander is like the guy you would have at a wedding.
You want to have Leander at every party.
That's right. Exactly.
'Cause I love a good wedding. British really? Weddings are always really colorful. There's always a punch up.
What's a punch up? What's a punch
fight?
Up?
Oh. Like a drunken fight. Someone swings at someone, and they do speeches. And usually the speeches are always really good. They're always great. I've never been to a wedding where they didn't have great speeches.
Is it just a bunch of British guys trying not to break up?
Break up? What do you mean?
Yeah, like I mean, get emotional.
Oh, people get emotional.
Really?
They get totally emotional. Yeah, that's why they're fighting and then they start crying and they get their arms around each other. Yeah, it's like all the emotions, every emotion.
Yeah, I just don't picture British guys getting emotional at weddings.
This is the time they do, because they get completely and utterly drunk.
First they hug, and then they fight.
Then they hug them all. It's always super fun. Yeah, I miss that's actually one of the big cultural things I miss.
Are weddings?
Yeah, because here they're a lot more staid, you know, they're civilized, and people behave themselves. But in Britain, because everyone's so uptight, they get really, really drunk, and then the roar, it's much rawer, the emotions that come out.
So they get drunk before the wedding?
Well, they are, of course, yeah.
we have it all backwards here. We wait till after the wedding to get drunk. We've been doing it wrong.
Before, during, and after, yeah.